Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in to a new episode of Talk Back. This time around, fiction editor Melissa Willis sits down with author Lise Wheel to talk about her newest book, Eyes of Justice.
Lise Wheel, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me back on the program.
Well, we love talking to you last year, and we are so thankful that you came back and joined us again. And we are here to talk about your new book, which is the fourth book in the Triple Threat series called Eyes of Justice. Could you tell our listeners a little bit about the series and then specifically this book?
Oh, I definitely will. This series is about three very, very strong but yet fallible women. Who, one is a federal prosecutor, which, as you know, I used to be. One is a TV reporter, which is what I do now. And the other is an FBI agent. My father was an FBI agent, so I grew up with a human lie detector test and an FBI agent. And these three women get together, and they form the triple threat. And the triple threat is also about a dessert that they love to eat, but it's also about how they bring all of their characteristics, their backgrounds, their strengths and energies to solving crime. And in each of the books, the Triple Threat series, they solve a murder mystery in very different ways with their very different talents.
Okay. Now, within the first three chapters of this book, one of these three heroines is murdered. And we don't want to spoil, we're not going to spoil anything for the
right.
readers. But when did you know this was going to happen and why this particular character?
Oh, boy, that's a hard question to answer. I have been living with these three women. They're in my head since the first triple threat, which is Face of Betrayal, and developing them and sort of living with them every day. They come over for pizza every Friday night. And I just felt at this point that it was time to change the energy, change something, and make it so real in the book. I wanted to write something that was ultimately, if I had to, encapsulate it, about great friendship and then about ultimate loss, ultimate total loss, and then finally about renewal. And I've tried to, in 200 or 300 and some pages, put all of those themes together about, the faith and the power of friendship and about the tragedy of loss and then about, really stepping in God's path, the renewal that we all can have. And to me, the way to do that, unfortunately, I guess, for one of the characters was to have her see the end of her days in this world.
And then that really sets the stage for the rest of the book, which are the two remaining ones trying to move forward in a lot of ways.
Trying to move forward and also do everything in their power and beyond to have justice for their friend. And I really wanted to bring that home about how these three great characters and how these three women are supportive of each other. And when one of them is hurt, ultimately hurt, fatally hurt, they do everything within their power to protect her and find what happened to her and make sure there's justice for her. And I guess being in the news business, it probably, informs my writing a bit that I see those cases, unfortunately, many, many times. And I wanted to write something about really women seeking justice for somebody who was a victim and a wrongful victim.
Well, on the lines of justice, this book starts out with just a fantastic verse. It's Romans 12:19 that says, "Leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, 'It is mine to avenge, I will repay,' says the Lord." Now talk about this verse and how the whole idea of revenge and justice plays into this book.
Well, I think I hearken back to news coverage. We see revenge, we see avenge, we see vigilantism, we see that sometimes is used in the wrong way and used in an unlawful way. And yet we want to exact justice. And that's why I use Romans 12:19 as the opening script, but also the title, Eyes of Justice. It's not about revenge, it's about justice. And how do you avenge to attain justice? And that's really what I try to bring through here in the line and the thread of this book.
Right, and I agree that was just played out really well, because it does toward the end. It has the dichotomy between a revenge and justice. And
right.
I thought that played really well. I mean, it was developed well all throughout, and then it kind of culminates at the end. And it puts these characters that have really been through a lot.
Yes, they've been through so many. And that's what I was saying in the beginning, is that, you know, they're strong women, they're accomplished, but they are also fallible, as we all are. I mean, in God's eyes, we are all fallible children. We have our foibles, we have our issues, and these women. But what was so great is that they could get together and talk about them and share. And sometimes when it was incredibly painful, and when one of the characters didn't really want the other to be sharing and didn't really want them there, these characters, these women, Allison, Cassidy, and Nicole, would be there for each other.
Right.
And I think that's really what, you know, when we look to a higher spirit, that's what God wants.
Yeah, it was a beautiful, you know, it's a beautiful friendship. I've enjoyed watching it and watching it grow and develop through four books. And I guess it's been 6 years, is that right? Or no, five.
This is the fifth year it's been out. But, and also, don't forget that we do introduce a new character, a new woman, who's very different. if you know Ophelia, very different, completely from the others. And her character coming in was so much fun to write and think about this woman and how she would be such a wonderful addition to the triple threat.
Now, she seems to have some Asperger-type qualities or characteristics. Is that kind of the feel we were going for with her?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Having fun with her. She's out of the mold. She is, you know, she's got some quirks and different things. Different aspects. I don't want to be too much of a spoiler here, so I'm trying not to tell you too much, but what a character. What an amazing character, and what an amazing woman with such a great heart. And again, she wants justice, and she didn't know the heroine that is no longer with us, but she still wants justice.
Well, is she going to be featured in some upcoming books? Can you tell us that much, or was this a...
Yeah, I think she may stick around for a while.
Oh, good. She's fun.
You like her, right?
I do. And, you know, part of it is because my oldest son has Asperger syndrome. And so whenever I see
So then you know.
Yes. And I love, because there's such an endearing quality with Asperger's, children. Well,
and I think you see that with Ophelia, don't you?
Oh, yes. Yes. I definitely saw the endearing quality of her. And the
brilliance. I mean, brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because she really helps. She really helps figure out, well, I'm not going to say where the crime is figured out, but she really helps. She really helps it go along.
Yes, and I loved her. So, yeah, let's bring her back. Let's see that some more. I did have to laugh at this, and I tried not to, but at this character's funeral, I don't think this is supposed to be funny, but unfortunately I did find it funny.
Okay.
They had open casket funeral. Now, I'm from the South, and almost every funeral is open casket. I mean, it's very rare that they're closed. Talk a little bit about how the characters reacted to this, and why did you decide to include this type of exchange in the novel?
It just made sense from a literary perspective to make it that way, because it sets up, you've read the book, so it sets up a very dramatic scene. And the character that's involved in it would have wanted that. This character would have wanted an open casket. I mean, that is just what she would have wanted. So as I told you, you know, I live with these characters for years. I have them for pizza. Even the one that's no longer with us, I revive her in my mind. And so I was thinking about what she would have wanted and what her friends would have known she'd wanted. And that would have been an open casket and a big ceremony and lots of people coming in. And knowing that, then following through on, okay, that's what her character would have wanted. That's what she would have wanted. And her friends would have known that. How can I set that up for an exciting scene in the book?
Ah, gotcha. Well, is the open caskets truly that much of an anomaly in the Northwest?
Not really. I'm from an old, a very small town in eastern Washington State, and I've been to many of them. My grandparents. That's open casket. It's not that unusual. I live in New York now, but I'm from, like I said, rural America. So at least where I was from, it wasn't that unusual. But I can't speak for, the rest of the Northeast.
Okay, I just kind of got the impression from reading it that it was a little different, and I thought, well, that's kind of the norm around here.
Depends on where you are, I guess.
I guess so. Now, each of the books in the series, the previous books in the series, have dealt with a political or social issue, but Ida Justice really didn't have any hot-button topics. It kind of revisited a couple from the past, but really didn't introduce any new ones. Why did you choose to kind of leave that out of this book?
I thought it would have been too much. We already have a big storyline going in with, what we've been talking about. And then I brought in, I don't want to spoil too much again, but I brought in a case very close to what I prosecuted many years ago, a bank robbery case. And I brought that in. And I just thought with those two themes, plus the new character coming in to try to bring in a political, social element. There is a little bit of it, but not as strongly, you're right, as the other books, would have been way too much. I mean, it would have been way too much to write, and I think way too much for a reader. I want readers to, snuggle up in bed or in front of the fire or having a nice cup of tea on a Saturday afternoon and reading this and not having your brain hurt. It should be fun. I mean, you should care. I want you to care, but it shouldn't be, oh my God, they were here. It should be, I want to enjoy this. So I thought with this book, it didn't fit with everything else that was going on.
Okay. Well, that sounds, that works for me. I was just curious because it seemed to be a detour from the other books. But I liked it because I thought that with the topics being dealt with, Just like you said, it would be almost too much.
It's a real character portrait, a character focus on how when these women face the ultimate loss, I mean, a loss beyond a loss and a loss in such a horrible way, how do they react? What do they do? It's a character, what do these characters do and how do they respond? And what do their hearts tell them? What do their minds tell them? What do they do that even maybe they're not supposed to do?
Right.
Maybe they go beyond a little bit what their jobs tell them they should do in support of a friend. And that was really the picture I wanted to paint here.
Well, that worked out good, and it did turn out really nicely. Now that you're four books into the series, what has been your favorite book so far? Which of the four is your favorite? And then what's been your favorite moment or event for these characters?
Oh, boy, I'm not sure I can even tell you that. I have to tell you, though, that each book is my favorite in a different way. And I know that sounds corny, but it's true. Each time a book is just being birthed, as Eyes of Justice is now being birthed, that's my favorite. And I guess that's true because, and not to sound corny again, but it's true because the characters have advanced and lived, and I'm advancing and living with them. So every time that they, they are into this new chapter, I am too. And so every book is my new favorite. I mean, Face of Betrayal, of course, was when they first came out. And, The Hand of Fate. Wow. I mean, that was so near and dear to my heart. Heart of Ice, that was an amazing story, I thought, about, a woman, a psychotic woman, and these three characters had to figure out who it was. But now we get really personal. This is really personal with Eyes of Justice. It's the most personal book I've written.
Yes, I could see that. Did you have, whenever it was all said and done, have you had a favorite character out of them, or just, again, love them all equally?
Oh, I love them all because they're all so, you know, they're, I mean, I'm not too, I guess I don't have too much a mask around saying that, you know, one is a federal prosecutor, one is a TV reporter, and one is an FBI agent. So, gee,
They're all a little.
mush them all together.
That's great. Now this series all throughout, and then this book in particular, it does have a lot of spiritual themes and different ideas and stuff. What would you like most readers to walk away from? What would you like for them to take away from the series and then also this book in particular?
That these are characters and people that you're going to know who are fighting for right, make mistakes, trying to find their path, coming from different ways to get to that path, from different backgrounds and hurts and pains and hopes and dreams that have been dashed or fulfilled, and that they come together, these friends. And I want people who deign, you know, humble me to take a look at the Triple Threat series to really see that. And these are not perfect women, nor are we all, any of us, but they're trying, and they're trying in God's image. And I just, that's all I'm trying to do. These are not preachy books or nothing like that, but I do try to bring in themes of spirituality because they all come from very different places that way, and they talk about it with each other. Allison is much more spiritual in a way, and Cassidy's fighting it, and Nicole, we don't know really where Nicole stands. So I try to bring those women all together to talk about spirituality and Christianity and what path we're all taking. And I think with Eyes of Justice, I really tried to get into that idea of the ultimate, beyond ultimate pain and loss, and yet how we can rise from that to a state of renewal. I mean, real renewal, not just saying it, but real renewal, real feeling of triumph over evil. And that's what Eyes of Justice is about.
And no, I think that's probably whenever anybody goes through grief and loss, especially Christians, I think there it's difficult going through that grieving and mourning process,
Yes.
but just to get to the point to where not just blindly accept it and just say it in words, I'm going to accept it, but really know in your heart that you've accepted what has happened, and then being able to heal and move on from that. And I think that that's difficult. I think it's difficult for Christians, non-Christians, anybody to really get to that point to where I think they can call themselves healed and able to move on and not be, in this particular case, consumed by
Right.
of what happened.
Well, and that's why these women are trying to fight so hard for justice for their friend. Because I think, in part, they're finding that justice for her is a way for that renewal and that forgiveness. And that, I don't like the word closure. I never really have, because you can never close that a door to real grief.
True.
But to find that ability to say, I've done everything on this world I can do. And I've done everything I can do for her, and now I can be renewed.
And you know, in a lot of cases, this series in general has been these three women fighting for justice. I mean, they've in
Right.
every book, they've really went after it. And whether it was their best friend, their closest friend, or total stranger, they
Or so
really went after.
exactly, some of they didn't know. That's right. And that's where you're asking, well, why isn't there anything political in this book? It's because this is so close to home. This is so personal. In the other books, it's been more about someone they didn't know, or maybe very tangentially it was a case. But here it is so personal.
Yeah. Well, now this the way that this book ended, it's left open to be more in the series. It's also kind of set up to where if that tends to be if this is where y'all want to end it, you can end it. What is next for this group?
I don't know. It's going to be up to the readers to let me know.
Okay. So
And I'm
y'all
saying with a big old smile on my face, you all just let me know what you think. If you want, if you want more, I'd be a very happy woman. I want to hear what the readers say. I really do, and that's why I'm so happy to be doing your program today, because I want to reach out. It's funny when you write a book. Funny, not in ha-ha, but funny, sort of ironic, that you write a book and you just, at least for me, I'm sitting right here. I got my hair pulled back in a ponytail. I'm wearing a big old sweatshirt, got my computer in front of me, and I just write away. And I don't know, honestly, whether anyone's ever going to read it. I mean, I've got Thomas Nelson. They're a wonderful publisher, and I think they'll you know, put my books in print, but will anybody read it? And now this is the fourth of Triple Threat. I guess I should be over that insecurity, but I don't know.
No, I think it seems like almost every author says that. They always seem to have a, you know, no matter who they are, they always seem to have a little insecurity as to whether or not readers are going to grasp and hold on to their books and really like them. And hasn't this made the New York Times bestsellers list? Hasn't this series?
Yeah, the New York Times bestseller list. But still, when you're sitting here, writing like running or, you know, doing some individual sports is a very individual thing. And you're only, as I said, I'm sitting here surrounded by pictures of my kids and my computer and my notes. And I don't know, maybe no one will ever never read another word that I write. And that's why I feel so honored by it. I mean, I really do. But I don't take it for granted. I never take it for granted, ever, ever.
The second book in the you have another series that you started last fall.
Yes, Waking Hours, set in East Salem. It's East Salem,
yes.
Trilogy, and that's got a kind of a supernatural element to it. I'm very excited about it. In fact, that's the book I'm working on right now, the second in the trilogy. It involves a forensic psychologist and a former NFL player. And they team together, and they're solving crimes, but there, as I said, there's a kind of supernatural element to it. Many, many more biblical references than in the Triple Threat. Probably a deeper spiritual level there, but in a different way, because you bring in that supernatural element to it, that supernatural layer. And I'm having fun with that too. And I live in that area, so I'm able to write around what I see.
Oh, cool. Now, you said that earlier, you said that you are doing a contest on your Facebook page.
Yes. Yep. If you go, I'll tell you how you get there. Just go to Lise Wiehl Books, LISWIEHL, books.com, and you go into, that's my website, go in and click onto my Facebook, and there's a contest for a free copy of Waking Hours, and then I think the first 100 that enter will get a book will get Eyes of Justice. So check it out. I mean, it's free. Just go in, take a look. Go on my Facebook. I try to post all the time on there. It's kind of fun. It's really great to hear what people think, whether they like the book, don't like it, you know, have critiques or whatever. I read it every night. I sit at night before I go to bed. I read my Facebook. And, you know, it's just a fun way to kind of communicate back and forth.
Okay. Well, now, is your website the best place for people to find out more about you and your books?
I think so, yeah, leasewheelbooks.com. And obviously the books are available on Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, Thomas Nelson is going to have a nice, you know, just go to Thomas Nelson's website. They have a great site there, too. But I guess for the most, if you really want to kind of find out what's going on with me and what we're doing, is leasewheelbooks.com. It's LISWIEHL books.com.
Okay.
And if you look at Eyes of Justice on the back of it, there's a website there as well. It's a site to it.
Okay, great.
And we've always got some fun stuff going. We've got contests. Last year, it was so great. I got to tell you, last year we had a contest for Heart of Ice, and we had three women. We'll probably do this again. Three women won the contest. They got a trip from Mississippi to New York, and all paid by Thomas Nelson, came up. I met them at Fox. We gave them a tour. It was so much fun. We went out to lunch. And if you go on my Facebook, you'll see I've got a picture with the three ladies out to lunch. It was just, we had so much fun. It was great. I hope we do that again.
Yeah, that's a fantastic idea.
It was a lot. It was really great.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today and talking about your new book, Eyes of Justice. It is fantastic. I absolutely loved it. I will admit I was one of those people. I picked it up one day and finished it the next. So
that's the kind of a good admission. Keep admitting that, Melissa. I love that.
Well, that won't say the condition of my house or the meals that I fed my family that day. So.
That's all right. Peanut butter and jelly is fine for a day. Just tell me you got to read Lisa's book.
That is right. Really enjoyed talking to you again, and I'm looking forward to seeing what we get with Ophelia. Maybe I'm gonna keep my fingers crossed.
Come on! I just want to hear from y'all. I really do.
Well, then we need to get all the listeners here. You know, hitting your Facebook page saying, "Bring back Ophelia! Bring her back! Bring her back!"
That would be great. That'd be great.
Good. Thank you so much.
Have a blessed day.
You too.
Thanks, Melissa. Bye-bye.